This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, back after an absence where he was actually doing real work, we have William Puckett, and he's joining us on the Paracast today on a windy day, not like the song from the Association back in the 60s, but real wind. And Randall says he's got wind, and I'm looking at my weather for Arizona here near Phoenix, and it's sunny, 64 degrees. Doesn't say anything about wind. Let's just take a look here. No, it's going to be in the 70s for the next few days and back into the 60s. And the wind is 3 miles an hour. Do you feel jealous, William?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we both do, Gene. What's it doing down there, William, where you're at? You're in Montana, right?
Yeah, it's rampant. I had a gust on my weather station. I just had my weather station, my wind gauge reinstalled and some enhancements made. I measured a gust of 62 miles an hour about 45 minutes ago, several gusts of over 40 and 50. I went out to get my mail, and it's only about a block, and I was going to turn around and come back because, I mean, I weigh 130 pounds, and I didn't think I was going to be able to stand up in it. I just put my head down like a fullback going through the line and got to the mailbox. So, yeah, it's really bad.
We've got it up here in Calgary, where I am. We get these things called Chinooks, which you're a meteorologist, right? You're like an actual qualified meteorologist. So when they come through here, we get the wind gusts too. And we've got a wind warning going with gusts expected up to 90 kilometers an hour. So what's that, around 50 or something? And temperature right now about 35 Fahrenheit for you guys down in the U.S., yeah, it woke me up last night, and it was really, really doing a number up here. But Chinooks aren't unique to Calgary, are they, William? They appear in other parts of the world too, right?
Well, the main location for Chinooks is on the east slopes of the Rocky Mountain Range. That's where they primarily happen. They happen in other areas too, but at this time of the year, what can happen, the wave pattern caused by the Rocky Mountains can cause a jet stream to purge down to the surface. And the jet stream is pretty strong. We're right under the jet stream today. A strong Pacific weather system is coming through. And we had rain here today, something to do with climate change. I mean, rain in January, kind of unheard of, not very much. They are phenomenon primarily of Montana, Colorado, New Mexico, and of course, Alberta, Canada, you know, any place east of the Rocky Mountains. And it's about 45 degrees, which is probably about 10 degrees off what you expect a record high at this time of the year in January. So very strong Pacific system, strong pressure gradient. Pressure was falling rapidly. Front comes through, pressure rising rapidly. You get tight packing of the contours, and you got wind. Generally what happens, my experience is, you know, it can be indicative that maybe the wave pattern might be, we might get some colder air in the next 6 or 7 days when the jet stream gets that strong. But it's been quite a non-existent winter here so far, anyhow, here in Montana.
Is that all about climate change, William?
I do believe it is. The second law of thermodynamics drives the atmosphere, the weather systems. And normally, if you didn't have winds, the Arctic would keep getting colder and the tropics would keep getting warmer. Well, now what happens, I mean, you can look in Alaska and, man, the temperatures in Fairbanks weren't even below zero the other day. There's no reason to have any northerly flow to exchange energy because the Arctic is warming up so much faster than the temperate latitudes. But you still can get these strong weather systems you know, coming through. And with more moisture in the air due to climate change, that can create stronger weather systems, more instability, what we meteorologists call. Another thing that also happens with climate change, if you do get into a what they call a polar vortex, that's kind of a common thing that the media comes up with, ridges and troughs where you northerly flow or southerly flow can kind of stagnate and sit in patterns. So you still can get some spillage of a pretty cold air because the trough and ridge patterns won't shift as much with climate change because of that dynamic of essentially the second law of thermodynamics, which really drives the atmosphere.
Is your opinion on climate change one that it is primarily man-made, or are we going through a natural cycle or some combination of both?
We're going through a combination of both. I mean, pre-industrial area, the climate was warming. You know, there was glacial recession, but a high percentage of the climate change we're seeing right now is anthropogenic. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, the carbon dioxide has doubled from 200 parts per million to 400 parts per million in probably 50 years, since the late 50s, more like 60 years. And it's out of control.
The carbon dioxide, that's like a greenhouse gas. So
yes.
Basically, if we look at it as putting, it's like putting insulation in your attic. If there was half as much before, now we've got twice as much. It's hard to think that it's having no effect at all.
That's correct. I mean, carbon dioxide has a long residence pattern. It's an inert gas. It doesn't react. The only way it can be removed is through photosynthesis. Whereas there are other greenhouse gases like methane, that's reactive. That has a residence time of about 10 years. And then water vapor is also a greenhouse gas, even stronger than carbon dioxide. And with global warming, with the ice caps melting, there's more water on the planet. And you're getting these horrific hurricanes, which are driven by water and water-based temperature. And you've got all this water in the atmosphere. Plus, you get high cloudiness, more high cloudiness in global warming. And high clouds are also a greenhouse effect. So it's a self-perpetuating mechanism, and it's out of control. It's got to be dealt with.
You make such a good point about water vapor. And you know, I'd been saying that for years about jetliners, because primarily their exhaust is water vapor into the upper atmosphere, and you can see how it just spreads out into this thin mist up there. Now, there's been a lot less, and the sky's been bluer since the lockdowns and all the travel restrictions because of the pandemic, but you can still see it. It's coming back again now. One thing I wanted to ask you while we've got you on today, too, and I know we've got a bunch of other stuff to talk about, chemtrails. Are they a real thing, or are people just seeing contrails? What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of on the skeptical side of that. What you just said, I mean, chemtrails are contrails. I mean, that's what they are. The argument is that people believe that the government is putting them up there to change the climate. To my knowledge, they're not doing that. But you're correct. Most of jets, chemtrails or contrails are water vapor, essentially ice crystals. And the satellite pictures do show them spreading out into cirrus clouds and moving, getting spread out by the wind, dispersed. They are a major problem. Now, I will say there are proposals out there of seeding, producing chemtrails in the Arctic to try to restore the ice caps. Now, that could tilt the climate. That doesn't remove greenhouse gases or carbon dioxide. It would remove the water vapor. So the chemtrail thing, it could be done. I mean, there are chemtrails that can be produced, that, and they're quite likely, what on my understanding is, it'd be sulfur dioxide is what they'd use. So it's a yes and no situation. People send me pictures of alleged chemtrails. I mean, to me, they're just contrails with a lot of jet traffic.
We've got William Puckett joining us, and we have a lot more to talk about. He's got a list of sightings and other information to present to us through this episode and also after the Paracast with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, William Puckett, let's move past the chemtrails. And that's
sure.
Because you have so much on the plate to talk about. But before we do that, just for our listeners' sake, last week we had Gray Scott, a futurist, but a futurist with a lot of paranormal background. And I guess what surprised me is I expected more just on the futuristic realm, and then suddenly he's putting up a new home in the Hudson Valley near where Whitley Strieber had his alleged encounters, abductions. It all kind of surprised me. I didn't expect all that to come from him. You, Randall?
Yeah, he was a really good guest. We got a really good comment on the Paracast community forums from Jenny Chan, who says, "This was an amazing interview. Thought it would only be about predicting future tech, so my mind was blown with the Alan Watts, Terrence McKenna, Matrix, Nature of Aliens Consciousness, and the video game references. What a profound discussion. Highly recommend it," she says. So thanks a lot for that, Jenny. It's really nice to hear from our forum people and listeners when we get a good guest on.
And we'll have him back again in the future. I'm sure there's a lot more to talk about. William, let's go into some of the current stuff, and then we'll get into the sightings. Of course, we all know that with the appropriations bill finally signed to law near the end of the year, that includes the Pentagon UAP Task Force, where they have 6 months to deliver a report on UAPs. Now, you and I are old enough to have been disappointed before, or maybe my expectations were low. But do you at all expect anything to change this time in terms of solid information to come forth?
No, I do not. I did get notified about this from a friend that, you know, as a part of a rider on the COVID stimulus bill, there was a 180-day deadline for U.S. intelligence agencies to share UFO info. The thing about it is you can ask an agency to divulge, freedom of information reports and everything. It doesn't mean they're going to do it. Who's going to look over their shoulder? I mean, I worked for the government for 30 years and fielded a lot of FOIA requests, and our FOIA officers, the headquarters of our FOIA were legal counsel lawyers, and the lawyers would get the FOIA request and say, "Well, check your files." I always did, but they're not going to come down and look over my shoulder. So agencies may have UFO information, and who's going to go in and quality assure them? Are you going to go into the CIA and look through their documents? So I am encouraged that there's congressional interest in transparency with the UFO enigma. But we're not going to see any UFO artifacts. You know, I do believe they have crashed debris. I think they crashed craft, probably alien beings. We're not going to see that. But maybe we'll see some more information. I will add that John Greenwald got some information from the CIA quite fast. Of course, he's always working on freedom of information requests. And apparently it's extremely difficult to read the file formats and everything. He's still working on it. So, you know, that's the kind of what we're probably going to see. In addition to that, there's a lot of agencies in the government that have UFO information. I'm not clear on that bill if all those agencies are included, you know, in that particular bill. I'm not quite sure about that. It mentions specifically, I'm reading it here, Office of Naval Intelligence, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, FBI. I mean, there's a lot of other agencies, NSA, National Reconnaissance Office, other agencies that, and the military branches that have information on UFOs. So my own opinion is I'm encouraged by the congressional interest, yet I do not expect to see anything earth-shattering. You'll probably see more of videos, maybe pilot reports, a few things like that, but you're not going to see the vaults at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base opened up. That's my opinion.
I also think here they are certainly capable of making excuses. They can say this is what we have. They can say we're still looking into it, and we'll have an update in another 6 months. I mean, what is there that Congress could do if they say, well, we don't have anything for you, or we don't have enough?
They can't do anything. They can go to the Inspector General, or not, let's see, I'm trying to remember. I've been so long since I've been with the federal government. There's another agency in the federal government that can put a lot of pressure on agencies. There's an Inspector General, which is the agency's watchdog, and then there's another office in Congress that Congress can go to and actually have federal employees go in and look through files. They can do it, but I can't remember the name of that agency off the top of my head. If I think it later on, it starts with an N, but I can't remember it. And they can actually go in, their arm of Congress can go in and quality assure release that Congressman Stephen Schiff, who unfortunately died young of cancer, he went to that arm of the government to try to get Roswell info. And what they came back with is they said most of the records with the Roswell incident were destroyed. So amen to that. But they did, he did use that arm, and Congress can do that. Any congressman can use that arm of the federal government to go in and look at actual files.
On the other hand, I kind of think Congress will be occupied with other problems, and this is not going to be the one that rises to the top. Well, of course, we can see what Senator Marco Rubio did, because he will become the ranking chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee after the new senators take over. And we expect, of course, that Senator Schumer will become the Senate Majority Leader within days after this episode is broadcast. I don't want to get into the politics here, except to say that, look, we've all lived through hopes for UFO disclosure. It never happens. I don't think it's going to happen now. Kudos to John Greenwald for getting more information. But he's got a ton of it. And where has that taken us?
Well, that's correct. I mean, he's got some good information out there, but, you know, he doesn't have any photos of alien beings or crashed spacecraft, you know. And that's the stuff that I'm almost 100% certain that the government has that information. You know, For a while I had some doubts, but, you know, with the Roswell incident, and the more I've looked at it and I've actually discovered some more little tidbits about Roswell in the last few years, and I'm pretty much convinced that it was a spacecraft that crashed, at least part of the incident.
Now, I know you were interviewed on Kevin Randall's show, and Kevin's a friend of ours. I've known him for 2,000 or 3,000 years.
And that's a long time.
Right. And he had this book called Roswell in the 21st Century, where a lot of the information he felt that we depended on for Roswell could not be verified. His conclusion being that something happened, we haven't explained what that was, and that's where we left it. But in the next second, I'm going to ask you, okay, William Puckett, let's have it out. What information do you think you've put together in recent years that lends more credibility to Roswell? We've got more to come with Gene and Randall and William Puckett. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President-elect Joe Biden says he wants to see 100 million doses of COVID vaccine administered in his first 100 days in office, as many states' governors have expressed frustration with the current slow pace of the rollout. The CDC says that while more than 12 million doses of vaccine have been administered, over 31 million doses have been distributed. Michael Levitt was Health and Human Services Secretary under George W. Bush and tells Fox News that trying to focus on vaccinating one smaller area of the population might have been what's been slowing down vaccination efforts.
As noble as it was to try to stratify those who need it the most first, it turns out that really slows us down. And so clearly across the country now, governors are saying we have to speed it up and we've got to broaden the categories and we've got to get needles in arms. And I think we'll see that happen across the country. I think governors are responding to that. I think it'll be part of the federal strategy as well.
This is USA Radio News. The woman who helped Donald Trump win the presidency in 2016 is reflecting on her time at the White House. USA Radio News' Mike Fortier has the story.
Kellyanne Conway was the first woman to lead a successful presidential campaign in 2016. She stayed on as senior counselor until last year. She was on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher last night.
I'm happy that I worked for a president who kept the Oval Office door open to many of us. We can go in and express ourselves. I didn't win every policy debate, but I was heard. And I think any woman in a workplace who is heard by her boss and has a seat at the table should really appreciate that.
Conway adds, though, that the last 2 months have been a disappointment, especially last week.
I think that those marauders and murderers, I think that they insult, not represent the whole Trump movement.
Looking back, she says Trump built the greatest economy we had, rebuilt the military, and a lot of people are better off. For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, you raised the comment, William Puckett, what issues of Roswell should we look at now that maybe are new to be considered?
I have a few things. First off, Jesse Marcel Jr., who was deceased 4 or 5 years ago, when I moved here to Helena in 2011, one of the first things I did is look him up, because he lived here. I had lunch with him. We discussed the incident, and he told me that balloon debris that was General Ramey had laid out on the floor at Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, with Jesse Marcel holding a piece of it, the balloon envelope was on the floor. Now, the balloon envelope is what you store the balloon in when you take it out of storage. Why was it on the floor? Number two, why did they have a meteorologist come in and identify it? Because they knew it was a balloon. If you had a UFO, would you call for a meteorologist to investigate it? You'd have an aeronautical engineer. It was all set up. It's crazy. They have a meteorologist come in and identify a UFO. Why? Because they knew it was a balloon. Second point, when I worked for the History Channel, when they did some UFO hunters on the Roswell incident, I gathered the weather data for Roswell Army Airfield for July 1947. On the alleged day that the debris was flown from Roswell to Carswell Air Force Base, the weather observer was gone. This is a thunderstorm season, the only base in the world that had nuclear weapons, and they don't have a weather observer on duty? Very strange. And I talked to Dr. Marcel about that, too.
Yeah, especially if it's a weather balloon, we're going to make sure we launch it and have nobody there to watch it. And like yourself, I went back and looked through as much of the weather records as I could find, and at all altitudes, I mean, I know they changed directions, but at all altitudes, the wind wasn't blowing in the direction of where that debris field was found from the place where the Mogul balloons are typically launched. So how does a balloon go, you know, against the wind to get there? None of it makes any sense.
I actually looked at the winds aloft for that time period when allegedly the Mogul balloon would have crashed, the launch of the Mogul balloon that Dr. Charles Moore had in his log, the only one that they never recovered, and the debris was spread out northwest to southeast. The winds aloft were from the south-southwest at that time, almost at right angles to where the debris was spread out. Very good point.
You know, people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, they changed directions at altitudes and stuff like that. And there was one where the lower winds were going exactly the opposite direction. There were some higher altitude winds that were going sort of that direction, but the angle of them would have taken them, if my recollection is right, well to the north, just not anywhere near the ranch. Yeah, something's going on. And then what about the people who actually handled the materials, like the foil? They could be crumpled up and yet not broken or drilled through or even hammered. I don't even know that we have materials like that today.
No, we don't. I mean, that material was like the size of cellophane on a package of cigarettes, and they couldn't drill through it. You know, it would spread out. You know, you'd crinkle it up, and it would unfold. I'm not a metallurgist, but carbon-based materials that are very strong, but not that strong and not that would unfold like that.
We have memory foil, but it's, I mean, you can just poke it with a pin.
That's right. There's been some more recent interviews with Jesse Marcel Sr. that have come out. I mean, he was just completely said that, you know, it was a spacecraft, nothing that they'd ever seen before. You know, my dad was a World War II veteran, and Jesse Marcel Sr. was not only an intelligence officer, he was an instructor. This is a 509th bomber group, and my dad told me that those guys were hand-picked just to belong to that group, let alone being a supervisor, an instructor. I mean, he has a lot more credibility than Dr. Charles Moore, who's been a major debunker. Jesse Marcel Jr. told me Charles Moore spent an hour in a motel room in Roswell trying to convince Jesse Marcel that the debris on the floor was a Mogul balloon. Well, even the military said it was a weather balloon. I mean, get your debunking story straight. You know? Was it a Mogul balloon? Was it a weather balloon? Or who knows? I mean,
you still get the skeptics today that say, oh, it was a Mogul balloon, and it's all settled. And then when you give them the kind of information that you and I have just presented, well, they just kind of clam up and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever. And then they go to the next show and they say, oh, it was a Mogul balloon. What is it about that kind of mindset that they just continue to repeat the same thing, even though the evidence, and they're supposed to be people who respect evidence, even though the evidence says quite clearly it really couldn't have been a Mogul balloon.
Problem with Roswell is that there were some pretty weak witnesses that kind of watered down the incident, like Frank Kaufman. And I don't want to say anything real bad about him, but his credibility was highly questionable. A few people like that, you know, there were allegedly two other crash sites. That's somewhat anecdotal. So it got watered down, but you had some reliable witnesses like Jesse Marcel Jr., Jesse Marcel Sr., Glenn Dennis, the mortician, Frankie Ford's father, who saw the beans. And even when I went down there, I saw the crash site, you know, the Arroyo, which is on the Hub Corn Ranch. I can't remember her first name. Mrs. Corn took me on the, it's 8 miles of the four-wheel drive to get in there. Sheila Corn was her name. And she told me a week before that, and even other times, she had bought people in there, and their dads were guard at the Arroyo when the military was cleaning it up, but they saw the beans. And you can even see indentation, which is quite artificial in the Arroyo, where allegedly this craft stuck into, you know, and went 25 or 30 miles. So.
Well, that's really interesting, because first there's the debris field. Now, in all the reading I've done on the debris field, there wasn't any sort of gouge marks in the ground. But if you followed the path of the debris field further off some distance, then that's where they say the craft came down, and that there was these archaeology students and other people and stuff that came upon the thing. I think maybe part of the problem is that we've got these sort of conflicting stories, too.
Yeah, the archaeologists, my understanding was that was the second crash site. Plains of San Augustine is my understanding. And that was different than the other debris field, which, and allegedly, you know, they saw a craft, and I can't remember the name of that other gentleman that, when he was on his deathbed, he actually did an interview where he was lung cancer, you know, and he was getting oxygen, and he claimed that he saw the, you know, the craft, and then the military came in and shoot him out. That's the problem with Roswell. You've got quite a bit of other evidence or different witness reports, but it seems like the credible witnesses where you can really connect the dots is where you really got to say that's probably what happened. And then the military moved in right away to squash it. And then you've got where allegedly the debris was taken to, you know, Wright Patt Field in Ohio. And, you know, you've got witnesses that saw the alien beings at Fort Riley, Kansas, the truck convoy. So, you know, there's just a lot of other, and that was Philip Corso, of course. And he claimed he was at Fort Riley, Kansas. One of the sergeants that was on guard duty lifted up one of the tarps and saw the beams floating in this fluid, and he went and showed Corso. So you've got to really, you know, scratch your head about that, too. And Philip Corso was a reliable person. I mean, he was high up in the military, you know, in the World War II in Korea. And he testified for the Congressional Investigation Committees in the 1990s on POWs in Soviet Union, that, you know, from the Korean War, and also alleged dogfights between U.S. and Russian fighters in the Cold War. And he was proven to be right. So quite a reliable witness.
We got a lot more to come with Gene, William, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I think here we should move away from Roswell, unless you got something more significant to present in addition to what you have so far. Mostly because I think there's a lot of new stuff that we can get into. What do you think, William?
Yeah, I guess we can leave 1947. You know, that was the year I was born. I always say I landed in Scobey, Montana in February 1947, and the aliens landed in Roswell in July of 1947. That was the first statement I made at my retirement party from the Environmental Protection Agency. They gave me a bunch of kind of an advertising of UFOs. So, yeah, let's move on into more current UFO sightings, maybe in a similar area but different setting. One case that I want to talk about that I've done quite a bit of work on in the past month, November 22nd, 2020, Las Vegas, Nevada, transparent robotic-like being emerges from green-glowing UFO. Ironically enough, that was on the anniversary of President JFK's assassination. I don't think that's a relation, but nonetheless, it is a date in infamy. This gentleman was, it was about a little bit before 7 o'clock, about 6:45 a.m., and his daughter was sleeping on the couch, and she was sleeping on the south part of their apartment, and the drapes were open, and he went to close the drapes because the sun was coming up, and he saw this green object in the sky, thought that quite strange, grabs his cell phone, takes off out the door, walks into a parking lot, and this huge green object, that he said it was so bright that he had to shield his eyes from it. He snapped several photos in about a minute or a minute and a half. And this object got closer and closer to him. And all of a sudden, this robotic, somewhat transparent, green robotic being where appendages weren't joined is projects from this object. He's mesmerized. He snapped more photos. And he's looking at this thing. And then all of a sudden, he just turned around and walked home. He was just kind of hypnotized. He didn't report the sighting to me for about, I think it was about exactly a week later when I got the report from him. I taped the interview with him. It's on my site. And I've also displayed some of the photos. He's still holding on to the photos of the entity, the alleged entity. He did release one photo. The other one, more compelling ones, he has not released. It's strange. But again, you can't really make heads or tails out of the photo. But nonetheless, if it's a transparent type entity, you know, you wouldn't expect to see, you know, Marilyn Monroe in the photo. So I have put the report out on my site. It's been on there quite some time. The witness has submitted additional details to me. The debunkers are calling this a lens flare. Now, it was taken in, the photos were taken into the sun. There's a cloud base at 14,000 feet. But the argument is, and this is where I part company with debunkers, they don't at all listen to what the witness says. They will say, well, it's a lens flare. One of the, or two of the photos was a lens flare, but the object does not at all look like a lens flare. It's not uniform. It's not symmetrical. And it changes shape. Given the fact that the witness saw the object, I think it is a real object. Addition to that, I've been able to verify the details of the photo. I mean, the photograph, the particular cell phone that the witness had, GPS his location, and it is right where he said he was when he took the photo. The time is correct. The location is correct. And I myself have tried to replicate it with my cell phone. You do get green dots, but a lot of the green, the UFO was above the sun. A lot of times green dots are below it when you, with lens flares and cell phones. Again, one or two of the photos were a lens flare. The rest of them are not. I will add that I do have a good radar dump, aviation radar for Nellis Air Force Base and McCarran Airport. I'm looking at the radar data. I also looked at the Doppler weather radar data for that date. Did not find anything compelling with the Doppler data. But again, Doppler radar is set up to detect droplets, ice crystals, hailstones, wind fields, etc. It has a narrow beam width of a degree. So I wouldn't expect Doppler data to pick it up unless a UFO flies right through the beam. And it was in clean air mode, which means they turn the gain up, so it's going to detect atmospheric particulates, insects. I don't know how many insects are in Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas is still warm in November. I believe the temperature is about 50 degrees. And again, too, why didn't other people see it? North Roswell in a parking lot, 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, Sin City. How many people are out and about? And it was North Las Vegas in a parking lot, not a people, a lot of people driving around. That's what I've discovered so far. I am still working on the radar data. I do believe it's a genuine case of a close encounter of the third kind. I do believe it's a genuine UFO report. I am posting comments. I haven't had a lot of comments on it. Also, too, I might add that the interviews are up on YouTube, which are linked to from my site, and I put some of the photos and the photo of the entity also in the YouTube videos, kind of to present more of a condensation of the information that I've acquired. Very interesting case, and one that I don't know. I mean, about as far as I can take it is looking at the radar data. If the witness comes forth with the robotic entity photos, maybe we can make some more deductions about what he saw. Again, I have not seen the good photos. And so I don't know when or if the witness will release them, but that's kind of where that case stands.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what the witness actually experienced here, because like you say, when you just look at the picture, you can say, okay, well, you know, who knows for sure exactly what that is. But like you say, when you start listening to his account, well, things are very different. So tell us a little bit about how this sighting unfolded.
Well, of course, he was walking out of the apartment, and he saw the bright green object, and he's walking to the south, and the object got bigger and bigger. Presumably, it was either changing size or shape or moving closer, or maybe all of the above. He states that, you know, the object was, as the object approached, he thought it was a large green spaceship. It was about the size of a football field, hovering low in the sky, but it did not land. He had his cell phone with him, snapped about 15 photos. And he said suddenly a robotic being appeared in front of him. He measured the distance the next day and said that the being was 40 to 50 feet from him. The being was somewhat transparent, but was bipedal and bimodal. The joints of the being appeared to not be connected. The being levitated above the ground. It was almost like it was invisible. Then it would turn into a being that you could see clearly, lights were coming out of the robotic being. He felt that the being was communicating with him the entire time. That's what he says about that.
That's pretty remarkable. I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, okay, so he was saying that he had his cell phone and he snapped these pictures. Well, how come all we see then is the photo with this vague sort of light off in the distance? Like, where's the pictures of the ship that is right overhead that should be perfectly clear? And
well, I don't know if the ship, you know, he does not have photos that I've seen that show the ship overhead. The photos that I've seen are indicative of an angle I would expect, oh, maybe 30, 40 degrees above the horizon at most. I've not seen any photos to say that the ship was overhead. But, again, you know, you could probably say there are some inconsistencies maybe or vagueness in the report, but yet, if I saw something that strange in front of me, you know, I would be, my story, I might be a bit hazy about exactly what I saw, you know. I mean, he was there 4 minutes, this thing, and he's pretty mesmerized and somewhat paralyzed by, not maybe physically paralyzed, but, you know, mentally paralyzed by what he saw. Again, I've not seen the last photos. He still has those. He's hanging on to them. So until I see those, you know, I mean, maybe the whole photos that he has of the being are strictly reflections from the sun. I don't know. I've not seen them.
Yeah, this is, of course, the problem we always have here. We're looking for reports of evidence, and then it never seems to show up. So what do you say? I have a couple of questions about that in our next segment with William, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203, 877-878-4203.